Welcome to the ASU Sports Business Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the ASU Sports Business Podcast. Glad to have you here again. My name is Gabriel Jala, founder of ASU, and thanks for your time. It's good to be back. A lot has happened in the sports space, in the sports scene over the last few weeks and few months. So yeah, really excited to get into it on this week's episode, really delve into what's been happening. Before we get into it, as usual, if you haven't already, please do subscribe to our podcast. We're on Apple and Spotify. That really helps us go a long way. If you haven't already as well, please subscribe to our newsletter. We release those the first Tuesday every month, giving you all of the information that you need to know regarding what's happening in the Pan-African sports space. Look forward to this episode. And so we're going to get straight into it. I'm glad to have Adam. I was thinking of just like adjectives to maybe say for you, bro. But yeah, good to have you with me today, Kevin. How are you? Do you just want to introduce yourself? Obviously, what you do, I'm sure people know already. But yeah.
Hey, Gabriel, thank you for having me. I'm Kevin, co-founder of Afro Ballers. So we are a sports platform at the intersection of sports culture in Africa. We built up the platform with over 7,000 followers all over our socials. And we try to create some fan engagement around African sports and athletes of African descent.
Thanks for joining me, bro. And yeah, you're doing a great job. If whoever's listening, if you don't know Afro Ballers, go check them out on socials, go check their website out. They are really have been doing a great job for a while in amplifying African voices and what's going on the continent and outside the continent as well regarding players of African descent. Thanks, Kevin, man. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Yourself? How you been?
Yeah, all good, bro. All good. Can't complain at all. Yeah, really excited to, I guess just chop it up, have the discussion to see what's been going on and what's happening within the sports space.
I can't wait to chop it up.
Love it. Let's start off. This has probably been a while, actually, but let's start off with NFL.
Yes.
Obviously, the Super Bowl, and everyone was going crazy with the advert that was shot in Ghana. It looked amazing, to be honest with you. It looked really, really good. And I've spoken with Ossie as well. And it's like, yeah, man, that was really good, really great to amplify just what's happening on the continent. And obviously that link with NFL. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it was a good message, you know. It's the fact that, you know, Africa is not being left out from the NFL plans. Mm-hmm. And it does make sense because Africa is a big feeder of talent. I mean, people of African descent are a big feeder to the NFL. So it only makes sense that it does happen. It's actually, if you do watch the amount of talents with ties to Africa, it's probably larger than any other continent, you know, when it comes to origins origin. So I think it only makes sense for them to be taking African more seriously. And there's a message for this. So, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, like, I definitely agree with what you say in terms of amplifying the message. But yeah, you know, today we've seen, or we can see in general, there's loads of like different sports trying to get to Africa because, of course, it's an untapped market, loads of opportunities there. How do you think? So people might have just seen that Super Bowl advert before. Oh, yeah, that's cool. It looks good. Putting Africa on the map, etc. But do you actually think like there's, like, how significant do you think that is for maybe the momentum and NFL Africa or what they want to do? Well, yeah.
I think it's mostly, I hope this is what's going to happen on the continent. It's mostly kids being aware of that the NFL is scouting for talents. Mm-hmm. And I think somehow they should find a ways to either connect with NFL Africa, or maybe the local federations or American football to find a ways to, you know, to benefit from the opportunity. Africa is a big continent. So realistically, like, I think there was no clear ways of saying how to, you know, have that opportunity. I think if you're hungry enough as a kid, you'll find a way to connect with the right people and find yourself, you know, at the right time and have the right opportunity. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, this should have fired up the hunger in someone's kid to be like, hey, I can dream of American football and there are ways I can, you know, make it, but it's up to me to also make the work. But the NFL is there scouting, they're looking for talent. So I think for a kid, that's essentially that's the message. He has to know that he has opportunities to make it, but yeah, he has to also be hungry and find that opportunity. But the NFL is scouting, they are looking for sure. What do you think yourself?
Yeah, that makes sense, especially because, you know, what we said in terms about players of African descent playing out there in the NFL, and just the growing nature. And I'm probably, you know, I'm assuming, you know, they can see in terms of NBA, what they've done across the continent, of course, with BAR, with FIBA involved as well, and maybe seeing that as an opportunity. But I'm sure that they are aware that it's important to really engage, you know, with grassroots to really build it up and not just come in for like a quick fix. In fact, I know that's not their strategy, which is very important to engage with the grassroots, like communities, tournaments, flag football, all that kind of thing, to just maybe let people and communities know about NFL, bring some current former players that they have ready into communities to really, you know, highlight the opportunities. So yeah, I think that's really important.
I think that's what they've been doing, if I'm being honest with you. Like the Eagles, they got the marketing rights from Ghana in 2022. And they've been hosting camps, you know, educational events about American football. And they've been having Super Bowl parties. They've been hosting events as well. So that's really what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a fan base for in Africa. But they also try to engage in activities to, you know, get the grassroots involved. And even on a high level, I think they have a championship in Ghana, and the champion of that Ghanaian team ends up going to the flag championship, which is like a sort of a World Cup with a kid on the age of 12 to 16, I believe. Mm. They play in the tournament. And Ghana has not been doing bad, to be honest, in that tournament. So I think they end up like third or fourth in the last two editions. So, you know, that's really what they've been doing. I think that's something that I can actually congratulate the NFL on, is that when it comes to Africa, they've taken I call this a tiptoe approach, where they, you know, they kind of tiptoe and they're not fully into it. Yeah. But really trying to understand the market better and what are the opportunities, because I think on the opposite of the NBA, they're not ready to launch a league in Africa just yet. But they are at least experimenting and implementing activities that are running all year long, that, you know, allows them to collect data and understand what's the potential for the future.
Yeah. And obviously there's news as well that Cleveland Browns recently got the marketing rights for Nigeria.
Yeah.
Which I guess allows them to operate marketing and really understand that market as well. And I think it's also important as well for people to realize the, you know, the entertainment aspect that the NFL brings. It's a real spectacle, like halftime shows, all of the lights, everything like that. And so really, you know, showcasing that across the continent, however that may be, will really help in engaging with a new market and audience. And like you said, you know, them testing the waters, tiptoe approach to see how viable certain markets are before they fully get into it, however that may be. But yeah, looking forward to see how that grows.
No, that's gonna be exciting times. I think it's. There's a lot of African talent in the NFL, so the potential in Africa is there for sure. Like Jemma Tautu once said in our podcast, it's like, you just want to provide more opportunities to people that the same DNA code as you, and that's exactly what the NFL is doing at that point. On that, so. Mm. Yeah, so we're looking forward to see how that evolves and how that gets better. But they've already had success having NFL prospects from Africa coming in NFL plays. Yeah, I think there's potential, and we'll see how that pans out in the future.
Nice, man. Do you think, just a random question, obviously with what you do with Afro Ballers and highlighting them, certain athletes, etc. Like, what's the actual... if you can, what's the actual like appetite or desire, that's the word, desire for maybe some current and maybe former athletes to really help, I don't want to say help Africa grow, but just, you know, have that on mind to maybe help maybe the next talent or develop things on the continent, etc.
I think the appetite is, I think football players are more aware now than they used to be back in the days. You see players like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was, this year was renowned for his fashion.
Before
he was at the first NFL after camp, and he's been going back ever since, every year, because he runs his own camp. He's been running his own camp from, I think, even right before the NFL run their first camp. He hosted his first flag African football and flag football camp in Ghana. Yeah, you start seeing a trend where people are really more involved. I think most likely because of the use of social media, people are more proud of being African, and also understand, like, you know, that, you know, being Africans have a lot of talent and potential for sports. So they want to be part of that storyline. And it's kind of like in the US, you know, if you watch your NBA, you can watch like Chris Paul saying, oh yeah, this guy used to be my AAU camp, these type of things. I think what the players are now doing is creating more opportunities back home. And hopefully in like 15 to 20 years time, they'd be able to say, oh yeah, this guy was at my camp. Actually, my son can say those type of things in a way, because
that's true.
Charles Bassey was at his camp. Precious Achiuwa used to play for Masai, was at his camp. So, you know, because of the media, now those stories are out there and people know about them. There are articles about these moments as well. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to get bigger and bigger. But from what I'm seeing with Afro Ballers and the athletes that do engage with us, like, I see that a lot of people want to do things on the motherland, for sure.
Yeah, decent. And I guess that's a good segue, obviously, talking about Masai and everything that's happening in the NBA to, maybe just focus a bit on NBA season four, and well, BAL, should I say, BAL season four. Obviously, at the time of recording this, the only conference to be concluded at the time was in South Africa, Kalahari Conference. From my own accounts, I was in attendance, unfortunately, but by all accounts, with people that I know attended, they were really, really impressed, not just by the level of play, but also as well, the atmosphere was insane, apparently. Different people from different backgrounds, you had your school kids there, really bringing the atmosphere. And I'm not sure how many people know about when it comes to like South Africa and like school tournaments and the crowd, they go crazy with the drums and everything. So the atmosphere was really good, which added to the overall spectacle of everything. I'm not sure if you managed to hear anything from the tournament, or your thoughts on
that. I was there. I was in South Africa.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good.
Yeah. And everything that you mentioned is true. The vibe was really good because the school kids were bringing something different. They were leading the force for them. And it was well attended. People were dressed up. You can tell there's a real culture in South Africa. I think it was a easier plug and play than other market for the BAL, simply because, I mean, they've been on the music scene for a while, and they've been doing all this. This is one of the most stable markets in Africa as well. So people start to afford going to matches, and they understand sports. I mean, South Africa is a big sports culture, from rugby to cricket. We saw that they're doing well in football. I mean, actually, like some of the local South African teams have been doing well in the African Champions League. You know, so there's a real sports culture in South Africa. So fans not to cheer on and do it properly. So I think having the NBA, I mean, the NBA branding. I mean, first of all, the NBA has been in South Africa for 20 years, if I'm not wrong. And so there's already like an NBA affinity. Now the BAL comes there with local teams. I mean, yeah, that was a great conference. That was probably, for me, it was the best experience in the BAL so far.
So yeah, I think it's a very good point that you said, because I know speaking to people, they were like, it was only a matter of time before South Africa, as you mentioned, a huge powerhouse. Like, if you can think of many international brands, their African HQs in South Africa. So it's only a matter of time before, the BAL went to South Africa. It's also good to see, you know, that they've expanded the depth. And the duration of the BAL with the fourth conference. And I guess, you know, how is the, would you reckon the appetite is for maybe other countries now to maybe bid to host some sort of a conference, or doing what they can to maybe get a team to qualify for the BAL, because they know the exposure and the return investment brings?
Every year we've seen Petro de Luanda, the Angolan team at the BAL. We know Angola is a basketball country. I think there's a potential over there. They're also hosting the Afro Basket in 2025. So that can give everybody a preview of what the potential could be for Angola. But I think that's a nation with a clear culture, with a basketball potential. And I think the games... I think there's potential for people to afford the games as well. So I think, yes, Angola would be probably a market I could consider. I would say Ghana, but Ghana is not, you know, Ghana doesn't even have an arena that's at NBA standards for now. In the near future, well, Nigeria is going to be ready for this. I've been developing an arena. Now, do we talk about this? Kenya is also building an arena, so Kenya is also a market, you know, where I can see the beer going. There's a lot of, there are a few markets that can, that potential for it, but they just don't have the right
infrastructure and stuff.
It's just, but it's not even a matter of time until, you know, you can grow in that aspect.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that you mentioned that because, infrastructure is so key. Having those facilities, those suitable state-of-the-art facilities to not just host, of course, you know, major sporting events, but some multi-purpose arenas too. We've seen with the BK Arena in Rwanda where the finals will be held. Obviously, you can host basketball, other sporting events in there. You can host conferences, some multi-purpose arena. And so it's not just, you know, for one season or one particular sport. It can be used all year round. So the clear return on investment is there. And of course, you mentioned with Kenya, and there's a few other countries as well, especially because things that happen in football, the African Cup of Nations. But those multi-purpose arenas really do help. And if you do want to have a team eventually at the BAL, then you need arenas and places where they can train and practice. So that's all very, very important. And there's definitely clear ROI on that. And I'm really keen.
ROI, I don't know about that because, you know, you could play for 2 weeks. What's that return on investment?
Yeah, that's true. But with a multi-purpose arena, that's what I'm saying. You can play for 2 weeks, but you can use it for like maybe concerts and different things like that, you know? It's a bit more, there's many examples that we can talk about where stadiums or facilities have been built for a special occasion and it's not used afterwards. So that's a burden more than an asset. But those multi-purpose arenas really, if you have a plan around it, then and they can really help to grow and help you in other ways as well. 100%.
No doubt, for sure. So we'll see how that grows, but there's I don't want to say a growing appetite just yet, but I would say this potential for the growth of sports in Africa, because essentially, like, have more professional sports, especially indoor sports, you know, you do need like state-of-the-art arenas to also be able to do a commercial product, you know, when sponsors and advertisers can fully benefit from it. So I think Africa is on the right way and just has to keep going. You know, I think the NBA is one of the sports organizations spending a lot of money to develop these, but you also have to congratulate the local actors that want to bring, you know, the NBA and others on their market, and that's why they're also doing those investments. So that's coming for sure.
I'm about to say something, you know, but I'm gonna just complain. I agree with what you're saying anyway, in terms of the appetite is there, that it's growing. But yeah, it will take time and the right people in place to help steward that so that it can head in the right direction. 100%.
For sure.
All right, cool. So, very interesting about, obviously, NBA, NFL. And I'm glad, obviously, you're here because that's of interest to you and those markets, especially what you do. And another question I want to ask you just on that, bro, in terms of we've kind of touched already on the NBA. Has a lot more, obviously, traction. This is the fourth season. I keep saying NBA, the BAL has a lot more traction. This is the fourth season. And obviously, on the other end of the scale, we're looking at the NFL, that's still kind of, as you say, the tiptoe threat that they're doing. So I guess looking at maybe both of these types of sports, how do you feel like these sports in terms of what they're doing, their strategy can really help contribute to like sports, culture and business as well in Africa?
So you say from a BAL NFL perspective, right?
Yeah, BAL NFL perspective, yeah.
Well, it's really tough. I mean, to build culture, you have to go from the grassroots level.
Yeah, I mean.
And to build culture, you got to mix other elements of culture. So right now, music is always a great element for culture. So you got to be able to connect when people of the moment, so the entertainers of the day or of the moment, do sports. And that's what makes the sport more interesting. I remember when I was six years old, when France won the World Cup, like that made me want to play football. You saw your nation. I mean, I'm also French by birth because I grew up there. Because of those reasons, because I saw those guys win the World Cup, I also wanted to play football and win the World Cup. Actually, it was better to show that every time France won the World Cup, they saw an increase at the youth level, at the grassroots level of kids.
Participation,
when participating in sports. So I think to answer your question from a grassroots level, from building the sports from a grassroots level, there needs to be winning moments for each nation. They got to be able to champion their players and be able to tie the culture so people can also see. When they go and see maybe the artists, they also see that they're the team or from this city or this country. So they can be inspired in that way. And now from a business perspective, the value of a sports team is actually tied to the level of play of the play. So you need to have that all able to perform at the top level. So I think there needs to be an investment from a grassroots standpoint to be able to a better professional product. So that goes hand in hand. But I think having you do see a little bit of a difference when you watch like teams from North Africa in the BAL and teams from a new nation that's coming to the BAL. Those guys have been playing basketball the club is like 100 years old. So they've been in the basketball culture for a while. So they have identity, they know what to do, they have a good championship, and so on and so forth. So you can see those type of things. Nice. Can you really form the level across Africa? And that comes with creating better leagues. Mm-hmm. So they have to look at that to create better business products as well. And it's all tied in. So if I have to break it down clearly, it's the grassroots level will create a better professional product, which will then create a better business product. Make sense?
There's no need for me to add anything to those views because I completely agree with everything that you said. Yeah, completely. Moving forward, for any federation, sports organization coming in, I don't know all of them. I haven't spoken to all of them, but I think it's clear that that's a strategy if you come to Africa that you really can't ignore, especially that grassroots one. Even for like your brands and sponsors that are sponsoring maybe local football leagues, like these big tournaments like your AFCONs, BAL, etc., to really like with any activation that you do, really engage like with grassroots and the communities to really like build that brand affinity, and so you can actually grow and get real ROI from what you for your objectives. You can't just come in and then just bounce short term. Yeah, man, you really need to engage 100%.
That's true. I think being able to create a better grassroots product is, for me, Kevin, I think is the best way of actually creating monetization opportunities for Africa through sports, I believe, because people always want to know who's the next one, who's the next Joel Embiid, who's the next Christian Okoye. And if they're able to fight him from the age of 12 to 14, and I think, especially in football, they do this really well, where the players cannot leave the academy until the age of 18. So which makes a lot of actual European clubs come and create academies in Africa. Yeah. And because of that, the best trainers, they make sure that the prospects have the best training possible before they can before they leave. I think football has figured out a way of doing this in a nice way. And there's some nice policies that the players being transferred, his first club in Africa is getting something back as well to keep developing players. So So actually going back to what you're saying, I would probably find ways to get more of those football policies for other sports, you know, and then find ways to, you know, also build each vertical in their own way, but be inspired from football. But they've been doing a great job at this lately. And you can see with Senegal football team is, you know, it's all academy players from Senegal, pretty much. Yeah.
No, 100%. No, appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for your time. It's good to chat, trap up on, you know, the latest things that's happening. Yeah, we'd love to have you on again. But yeah, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And to everyone who's been listening, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in. Again, follow us on the socials. Engage with us by signing up to our newsletter. And until our next episode, thanks again and take care.